This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I think the more time, you know, that we spend in these situations, the more we'll figure it out. I know our coaching staff, especially Flus, puts those guys in very similar positions in practice, and they rep that out. So I would imagine over time it's going to get better. You know, the one thing we've talked about through the season is just finishing. We got to find ways to finish and win these ball games. And when we do that, and you think about all the close games, you know, we could be looking at a team that's going to ascend quickly.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
It's the pregame show on The Score, presented by Bet Rivers, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download that Bet Rivers app today. And we should let you know that was the general manager. That's the man with the plan, the man in the GM suit. That is Ryan Poles. And he was on with WBBM, our sister station, talking about finishing. And, didn't Aaron Donald finish the Super Bowl? If you had a pass rusher, maybe you finish a little bit, but let's not. But they could have said quickly. A pass catcher would help. Here's the thing. Pat, they lost last week's game in part when you look at the shootout results. The Bears' offense scored more points than Miami's offense, but of course they allowed the block punt. And we talked about that, and we talked about Khalil Herbert and missing that block. And you said that Adrian Peterson had done that previously, that it wasn't unusual to have a player like that. We were talking to Dave Wannstedt this week, and he said, why not just use David Montgomery there? You know, he's a good blocker. It's not like there's that many punts in a game. Would it kill you to have him replace Khalil Herbert? Do you expect Herbert to remain in that spot after that error? Is that one you just throw out? Does it take two dropped punts before you lose your job and wind up on the inactive list? And I'm not suggesting that for Herbert. He's too valuable. Mm-hmm. But would you make any kind of move with him? And yeah. Should we keep an eye out for that maybe?
No, I'm putting him right back out there. He just made a terrible mistake. There's something that all the special teams coaches I've been around, they never coach the cut. You know, he was trying to cut Jalen Phillips, who was an exceptional pass rusher, and that's what he's great at. And they tell you, if you are going to cut, you have to be 100% right. And he was not 100% right. His technique was poor. He went for the outside leg. He got swimmed inside. Got a little too much depth, whatever. That's the coaching points. But I think he's too valuable out there as a cover guy. He's a pretty darn good cover guy. And he's a guy that, you know, watching the tape of him, normally you have those wings. They're your contain guys. Well, he's not a contain guy. They have a little different system. If you get out first, then you're going to be a ball guy. You're going to be a force guy. You're going to be a – then you get out to contain and all that kind of stuff. And he does a nice job in coverage. So I think he's too valuable in that. I think he just honestly made a bad decision to cut an exceptional pass rusher. And, Anthony, I'd love to hear your thoughts on – I'm sure you played on the punt rush team and you'd love to do it because you could throw your pass rush moves on these guys that's not really their job, a tight end, a linebacker, or somebody like that. And you would think that Khalil Herbert would be better at it because he is a running back and does have to pass protect, but he just made a mistake. I just don't think you'll ever see him cut again, and I'm not a big believer in the cut just from what I've been told, and then when you do miss, that's what happens.
And for the Dolphins to have a guy who's essentially their starting defensive end slash outside linebacker type, to have him out there, that wasn't a punt safe. You know, you'll see starting defensive linemen out there when you're going punt safe at times, but he's out there in their true punt rush squad, and that's not a matchup Khalil Herbert will see very often, but you'll get it on occasion, or even if it's just a rotational pass rusher. You'll see on occasion guys who are quality pass rushers who are out there. Jalen Phillips is a mammoth individual and a very gifted pass rusher and super athletic. But for Khalil Herbert, yeah, I mean, he's been out there. He hasn't been out there for every single punt protection this season, but he's been there the bulk of the year. He's been out there for the majority of him, and there's a reason we hadn't noticed him before, because he's been getting the job done. So I don't think that with his first true, blown assignment, his first true missed block and punt pro of the year leading to, I mean, it's a crucial error that, to your point, Mully, ends up leading to the Bears from a scoring margin perspective. You can point to that as one of the key reasons they lost the game, because not only did a punt get blocked, or, you force a bad punt because you gave up a little pressure, it led to a touchdown. It directly led to a touchdown for the Miami Dolphins. So it's a critical error, but he's been out there all season getting the job done for the most part. And so I don't anticipate, Brian Hightower making a quick change there. And to your question about David Montgomery, you certainly – there will be – if you're putting a starter in punt pro, it's usually a starting defender, maybe a starting tight end, Cole Kmet type. Starting running back, obviously, like Wani told you guys, it's happened before. Right. It's not a preference. Running back is already – You could argue the most physical position on the team. Like, who comes out of the game most banged up? Frequently, it's your running back, and especially with the amount of run, the amount of touches David Montgomery gets for the Chicago Bears. So that's a level of risk that I don't think this offense is necessarily in a position to take with a player as valuable as David Montgomery.
They have done a remarkable job on special teams this year, right? The kicker is fantastic, Cairo Santos. We don't talk about him enough, and that's a good thing. Patrick Scales does a great job. Mm-hmm. Trenton Gill might be as good a rookie as they have, and that's saying something, because he's really good punting and also holding. I just think that, unfortunately, we've spent a lot of time talking about Velus Jones Jr., because those have been very costly mistakes. And now we're mentioning Khalil Herbert on a negative play. So it's like those, when a special team play goes awry, it gets a ton of attention, because especially last week in a game where there were no turnovers, that was the difference. That was the stolen possession, the extra points. That was the play that kind of, as you go back and look through, damn, if that one doesn't happen, we win the game.
Yeah, and this team right now, you can't have those mistakes. You have to be solid on special teams. You expect your team to do that, because they are outmanned on defense, outmanned on offense, maybe not so much on offense now with Justin Fields' development, but you can't have that and win games. That's obvious. That showed its head, and that's being preached in that room, that we have to do our job to help this team win. There's other teams, if you have a great defense, dynamic quarterback, you can make a mistake here or there throughout the season on special teams and live through it, but not this team right now. You can't do it.
Margin for error is just too small.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The margin for error is too small to not win the turnover battle, to give up points on special teams. That has to be the formula for this Bears squad to come up with wins. They need to be the one who runs a punt back or runs a kick back into the red zone, and now you got an easy field goal or maybe a touchdown on the board for the offense. They got to be the squad blocking punts or running fakes that give them an extra possession.
Speaking of fakes, real quick, Detroit has run two successfully already this year.
Right.
So that's on the table as well for this special teams unit.
They're
Coach Fipp will run some, yes, very much so. And the other thing too, guys, with the weather changing, the kickoff return is going to become part of the game. It's not going to be touchbacks anymore. It's going to become part of the game. So we'll see what they can do with the kickoff return game. Can Khalil Herbert, if he's the returner, can he get the ball out there and help the field position with this offense? Because
would you like to talk through the PSI? I mean, you're essentially saying, you know, it's colder, crisp conditions. Yes. The football will hang in the air a little bit more. It's like kicking a cinder block at times. Well, why is the explain that for the folks? Why the kick return game is going to be more of a bigger part of things now?
It's just colder. It is. The ball just doesn't fly the same. You're going to see, you know, Cairo Santos not line up for 53-yard field goals, you know, as the season goes along. You're going to that field goal line or whatever you call it, that little green line you see on the on the TV, that thing's going to move up 3, 4 to 5 to 6 yards. So it's just the game changes now, special teams wise, especially in this city.
Is that line determined by what's going on in the pregame?
Pregame. Yeah, you'll go out in the pregame and you'll go to the north end, you'll go to the south end, you'll go to the special teams coach or assistant, tell them the yard line, and then that's relayed to the head coach. I don't know if he writes it down or he's asking while the drive's going, but it's all done in the pregame, yeah.
Yeah. That's, you know, listen, this is all kind of inside football. This is good stuff. Unfortunately, this has been far too determinant, right? I mean, because now the Bears have a chance to score points. Now they finally have gotten to a point, and I just wonder, when you see everything that happened over the week with Justin Fields, you know, dude's a baller. I think Rex Ryan on ESPN, buddy's son, right? The guy was a ball boy here years and years ago. He's saying that his ceiling's higher than any other young quarterback in the league, talking about Justin Fields. We're seeing it. The NFL, the league itself, on their website, runs a top 10 quarterback. They rate every quarterback on a weekly basis. Justin Fields is now considered, in their eyes, the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, ahead of Aaron Rodgers, ahead of the Super Bowl winner Matthew Stafford. I mean, I'm not making this up. He's one ahead of Justin Herbert. Now,
It was just 3 weeks lists. Ago where most of the people in this town, let alone around the country, wanted to bench the kid. He's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in football.
I just want to
point out. Love this league, man. You got to love this league.
That's how quickly it turns, and that's how Justin Fields now would have been drafted ahead of anybody in his draft. He's the best. It's comical to a certain extent, and you see you're skeptic about that reality, Anthony. But the fact is that now people will look at the Bears like, oh, what did Fields do? You know, how many fantasy points did he put up? Did he break 100 again? They're going to be looking at him with in a different fashion. And I'm just curious, does that change anything in terms of what the Bears want to get done? How the play – he seems really – I love – the way he's approached this. He might be the only guy in town that's not buying into all the hype, at least publicly. Everyone else getting ahead of themselves a little.
You know what I love, guys? You know what I love is hearing Luke Getsy talk about this game, and he still coached him hard. The run that he had, the long run, he said, well, he made the wrong decision as far as quarterback development. He should have hit Darnell Mooney, you know, stayed in the pocket and hit him for the 15-20-yard gain. And then he talked about, you know, like the interception that was overturned. He coached him hard on that, and he did that publicly to us. And I think that's great. I mean, yes, you can pat the young man on the back, but you still have to coach this guy hard. There's still room for improvement. Oh, he ran for the 61, 63-yard thing. That's just something you can't coach, and that's awesome. But I love the fact they're still coaching him up as a quarterback, saying this is actually the right read to make. And I think that's great for him. I think that's the way he should be coached. I think that's the way everybody should be coached. Yes, you can pat him on the back, but you still want them to be better and play and try to play a perfect game. You can never play a perfect game, but try to play a perfect game.
And that reality is why I don't necessarily, you know, like when we had Groats on a few minutes ago when he was talking about kind of what's the next step for Justin Fields and the Bears offense, and is it a 200-yard game, a 300-yard game? I believe those games will come. But I don't necessarily believe that that's what the next step in the process – I don't think it should be judged based off of that, because we're at a point now where we're seeing Justin Fields and the Bears offense begin to stack performances. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is what this is about. Consistency in the National Football League is so incredibly difficult to attain initially and then to sustain it over a longer period of time. So I don't think that – you know, if in today's game against this porous Lions defense, if Justin Fields doesn't throw for 250, or if he happens to throw an interception to a defense that has been showing itself better and better, taking the football away lately, then I don't think you come out of this game and say it's this huge step back for Justin Fields. If you can continue to see consistent playmaking, consistent decisiveness and decision-making from him, accuracy as he's looking to try and throw receivers open, that to me is what it's about more so than the amount of yards he throws for. Are the Bears moving the ball? Are they getting it into the red zone when it's in there? Are they finding ways to score it? Is Justin Fields a key member in that? And that's why, you know, where back when, you know, whether it was I was arguing with Dan and Lawrence early in the season about the stats when Justin Fields didn't want to cop to the passing game not working, or when I'm, you know, debating with David about whether or not Matt Eberflus makes sense when he's saying he saw progress after the Commanders game, because the coaches judge the minutiae of these situations. They evaluate every minute detail of the film when they go in. And they were seeing that Justin Fields was becoming more decisive. They were seeing that Justin Fields was putting the football in positions for his playmakers to make plays. And now you're seeing more of the playmakers around him begin to make those plays. Cole Kmet catching the rock consistently, having Chase Claypool out there, scheming up opportunities for Darnell Mooney. All those things equating to the Bears now putting more points on the board, and the field generalship, the mastery of the system for Fields with all the ball handling in the backfield. None of that they could access in week one the way that they can access now at this point. So, yes, there have been tweaks to the Bears' offense, but folks are acting like Luke Getsy's running a completely different system than he was before. He's not. His players are getting better at it, and they're tweaking it. True. They're refining it as they go, and as every team in the league does. You're looking at film over there and saying, you know what? That might work for us. Mm-hmm. They should do that, and they will continue to do it, but it's not some new system.
Let's talk about Getsy, because I think it was Danny on the afternoon show said that, like, right now, if Getsy gets another job, he'd fire Eberflus to keep Getsy. I know.
Who did you say said that? Who did you say said that?
Danny Parker.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just kidding, Danny.
No, that's funny. But it is. I mean, it's taking a point and going way over the top.
Well,
Molly,
they did it in Tampa with Lovie, right? With Jameis Winston.
Tampa with
and how did that work out?
That's right.
How did that work out? No, it didn't work out at all.
You know, I think years ago, Pat, you'll remember this, Gary Croton was here.
Oh, yeah.
And someone wrote off a game in Tampa that they ought to fire Dick Geron and let Gary Croton be the head coach. I mean, this is not a kind of a new development. This has been a take people have had. I think that it's really – it's interesting to me that Getsy has been as good as he's been, and he's been very good, especially when you see, like, Nathaniel Hackett go out to Denver and apparently doesn't know how to coach football. When you see Green Bay – all of a sudden, a guy who was going 13-3 just by showing up and throwing the ball to his quarterback, all of a sudden he can't coach football. It's amazing that Getsy actually called plays, not in the NFL level, but he actually had that in his background, and that helps a ton. And I think he's done a really masterful job with, as you're saying, just being aware of the small things, coaching the guy up. Justin Fields is incredible. I mean, he's the best player on the field when he wants to be, and it's just an extraordinary skill. But he's still working on all these other elements of it, and frankly, Getsy called it. He said that they were, you know, we're seeing things, we're getting better, and then they got better. So to see that coming is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it would be unfortunate to see Luke Getsy leave.
Yes.
Just because of the development of Justin Fields, and I think we're seeing it right in front of us. And Anthony, you talked about his ball handling skills have improved. He obviously learned some from Aaron Rodgers with Luke Getsy up there and how important that is. But I just think for his development, anything to keep him here. You know, I just hope he doesn't get a head coaching job yet, just because selfishly I want to see him to continue to develop Justin Fields, and to have another coordinator, quarterback coach come in would just not be helpful.
Yeah, most of the questions Luke Getsy was getting up until the mini bye were about why his offense wasn't working. And then now here in the, three games now since the mini bye, now we're seeing an offense that's putting points on the board. I don't think he's necessarily in line for any head coaching gigs yet, but we have seen this function pretty quickly. If it happened, I'd be comfortable with Luke Getsy going out the door and Matt Eberflus retaining his role as the head man for the Chicago Bears. I'd like to see a little bit more from Getsy first before he became the head man in Chicago.
I really appreciate what Eberflus has done in terms of changing the culture, in terms of, you know, he's been the adult in the room. He's come in and kept notes, and I think we've seen good coaching. And I'd love to know what that would look like if they had, you know, a higher talent level. I'd love to know how that would translate moving forward.
Next season, hopefully that's it. And you were talking about coaches moving up to being a head coach.
Yep.
Yeah, you can call plays, you can be a coordinator, and you see guys get one step too far.
Yes.
But to be a head coach, you have to be able to have that management skill as well. And some guys just don't have it. It seems maybe like right now Nathaniel Hackett does not have that. Obviously, he's a good play caller, offensive coordinator, and all that. But that's a different skill set you have to have as well as being as just a football coach or an X's and O's guy.
All right, we're going to keep it going. We've got a lot left for you. We're eventually going to make our picks before we get out of here. Could this be the afternoon? Fun to talk about the quarterback. Fun to talk about everything going on with the Bears offense. And I don't know if it's as much fun to talk defense, but we'll get into some of the actual moments of this game. There's a running back in Detroit that's mad, and he wants to prove something. So we'll mention that next. It's the pregame show. It's the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, that's a team, you know, they take... You really model themselves after the head coach, and they're a tough and gritty bunch. They compete at a high level, so we got to make sure we bring it. And obviously, this is a divisional game, so this is one we have to win.
That again, Ryan Poles. You're listening to the pregame show, and he's talking about the Lions. And we should let you know, there's still time to get yourself some Zing Zang. Why don't you go out and try the new Zing Zang Bloody Mary canned cocktails with premium vodka already in the can. They're always ready, and they're perfect for your game day tailgates. Please Zing Zang responsibly. It's interesting because the Lions have a pretty good running back in DeAndre Swift when he's available. And what they've been struggling with in this, his third year in the league, and they took him high in the second round, I think two or three picks into the second round. He's had a lot of injuries. He's had a lot of little ticky-tack stuff that has kept him out, and he's played, I think, 13 out of 17 games last year and 13 games the year before. He's back. He plays last week, and he catches a pass, and he gets down to the one-yard line, and they take him out, and he's visibly upset about it. He's clearly frustrated. He wants to play more, but they have to be careful about his usage. And I think he only had like 9 touches in that game last week. You know, very effective player, former Georgia running back. But you just got to be careful about how you use him. And you like a guy who's angry, right? You like a guy that wants to do more. I just don't want him to be doing it today, right? Especially with that Bears run defense.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his for a couple reasons. I grew up in Georgia, and I've watched a lot of Georgia football, and thought he's a very good running back coming out of college. And I'm just, you know, it is unfortunate he's been injured like that. And the other reason why I like him is because he dropped that pass back in 2020 against the Bears to help the Bears win. But he's a guy that does scare you. The guy is dynamic. He kind of reminds me of the Tony Pollard out of Dallas, where you can hit a home run when you get the ball in his hands. He's very dynamic out of the backfield in the passing game. Very good running back. And I'm shocked. And I wanted to ask Dave Burkett or Burkett from the Detroit – I didn't get a chance to – from the Detroit Free Press of why he's not getting more touches. I understand he's injured. He's only played in five games. But I'm looking at his stats here, and I forgot about this against Philly. He had 15 rushes for 144 yards. I don't know what the long one was, but for an average of 9.6 yards per game or per rush. And it's just, he's a guy that scares me for this Detroit offense.
I think in some ways, DeAndre Swift is, you know, where we've had our discussion in Chicago about Tevin Jenkins, who unfortunately today is not going to play because he's injured, but just in whether or not, you know, the Bears should have had him in the lineup earlier and more frequently, and why is he rotating, why wasn't he starting, things like that. And there's a little bit of that that's trailed DeAndre Swift also. Like, even in his time at Georgia, made a lot of plays and got the rock a lot, but there was always this little inkling of a conversation around him. And he's one of these guys that I got to watch coming out of high school also, played in the All-American Bowl that I call for NBC. And he was always kind of that guy. I was like, man, he's just so much more physically gifted than everyone around him. And he makes the game look easy at times. And he's capable of doing everything. He's a runner. He's a pass receiver. He's a route runner. He can. He's stout enough and built low to the ground to be able to pass protect. And he's got straight line speed. He's got wiggle. He's got like all these different elements that you hope for in a top flight running back in the NFL in his time in Detroit. He's had a lot of flashes. But he hasn't always shown himself as the guy, like playing at his peak. When he's at his peak, he looks kind of like a poor man Saquon Barkley. Like, he's got a lot of those elements to him. And I think for Detroit, my impression is that that's a part of it. You know, the dependability to keep him in the lineup and keep him healthy is a part of it. But then also just, you know, Jamal Williams is a talented runner as well. And he brings it. Like, he runs through contact, runs with ferocity. And, you know, I think that to make sure that they are getting the most out of DeAndre Swift, and perhaps even the additional motivation that comes with it as well. They're saying, you know what, we can function offensively without you. Even in games where you're healthy, where you're active, there's other guys who can make plays for us as well. And it might not always be the most wise way to go about it, but I do think my impression is the Lions are trying to find ways to tap into peak DeAndre Swift, and they don't necessarily always feel like they get peak Swift. If they do, Jack Sanborn's in trouble, because he's him in coverage against DeAndre Swift is a matchup that would favor Detroit.
Yeah, that's trouble. And the other thing about this matchup today, you're talking about the front seven of the Bears and Jack Sanborn, is this O-line for Detroit. To me, their game plan today should be to try to run the ball down the Bears' throat. And it's weird to say this, because in my opinion of my game plan, I want to keep the ball away from the Bears' offense, because they can score points. We haven't said that in years, so it's kind of wild to hear that. Yeah. But to me, you got two first-rounders at tackle. You got Frank Ragnow, first-rounder at center, who's very, very good. Jonah Jackson and Evan Brown. You have a very good O-line over there in Detroit, and that's a matchup that I think can really hurt the Bears. If they start running the ball down their throat and controlling the clock and don't turn the ball over, that could really hurt this Bears team today.
You know, the Bears allowed, I think, 11 touchdowns in five games heading into the Dallas game, and now they've allowed 10 in two games. And I think when you look at that, you have to wonder, you know, you mentioned Jack Sanborn. It's nice to hear Allen Williams single him out as a guy that made an impact. He was the only member of the front seven in the top five tacklers. The rest were all the secondary guys. The very fact that the secondary is having to tackle as much as it does tells you that they're not doing anything up front. And again, you can't, you know, I just am curious to see if the defense can improve in this game. Because as much as we credit what the Lions have done, they passed the ball very well earlier in the year, and they can run the ball, and this guy's a dangerous player, you can't allow teams to run you over in the fashion in which the defense has the last two games. I don't know that they can get better.
I against this team, maybe, but I just they're outmatched on paper. The other thing I was looking at here are the stats of that O-line from Detroit. They've only given up 13 sacks on the season. That's fourth and the best in the NFL. So you're not going to be able to get pressure on them there either. So this is going to be another tough test for this defense. And I just don't know how they'll get better, but I think they can play a better game against a subpar team like the Detroit Lions.
It's one of those things that, to a similar vein of what I was discussing with the Bears offense earlier, where, you know, the perception is they're doing all these different things when really most of the stuff they're doing is the same things they did early in the year. They're just getting better at them. I think for the Bears defense to hope that, like last week, they wanted to get hands on the Miami receivers more frequently and not allow those free releases off the snap, and they didn't. I don't think it means that Alan Williams shouldn't try to put his defensive backs in a position for some press man coverage against Detroit today, but will they be better at impeding the progress of the route now? If they went back, they watched that film, they're not as threatened by the speed of Amon-Ra St. Brown and Tom Kennedy, whoever else, you know, Jared Goff's going to try to throw the football to, that sort of thing. But I think you can grow from that. You can look at it and say, you know what, I could have been that extra half yard closer to him on his release. I could have used my inside hand when I saw his body position go in a certain direction and come out here and execute the same scheme, the same strategy in a better way this week than you did last week. And this is the Bears defense right now that would have to be built from the back moving forward as far as the expectations of productivity. Got higher expectations for the secondary than we do for the linebackers than we do for the defensive front. And I believe that they can at least be in a position to improve, you know, sort of marginally week by week. You know, what does that end up getting you? I think for the D-line, there's enough experience up front. We kind of have a sense for what Justin Jones is, what Armand Watts is at this point in his career. You know, Aquadee Muhammad, who's not, you know, not healthy enough to even play in the game today. But there's guys who've been in the league long enough where we know these aren't star-level pass rushers. These aren't big-time, consistent playmakers. But to see them improve on a marginal basis and the way that can affect the Bears defense as a whole, I think it's fair to at least expect you can see a higher level of performance today than you did last week, the last couple of weeks.
And I mean, you mentioned the Detroit line. They've got three former first-round picks, and the Bears right now have one. That would be the former Lions first-round pick, Riley Reiff. That was like four teams ago, right? I mean, it's crazy to think about. Tevin Jenkins is, you know, the most prominent of the Bears selected offensive linemen, and he's obviously unavailable.
Yeah, it's just Cody Whitehair is up there, but and by the way, Cody didn't have his best game last week either. He came back from an injury, and I was going to say that I thought he would play great, but you never know what the injury is coming off and how much he's hurting from that, and is he coming back early. But, yeah, just that it's the Bears have built this team differently with this offensive line. I think that, to me, is they have to address that this offseason to get more talent up front for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a problem, and it's something they're going to have to, you know, work on. And I think that the defense, that front seven, it's very interesting when you look at who they have right now. Who's proven they belong here next year? There's not a lot of guys that have long-term contracts on this team. There are only two members of the front seven back from last year's team, and the guys that they had were obviously household names, a lot of them. So it's very curious to see how this team will shift and change from year to year, but obviously, we're more concerned with just whether or not they can play this week.
Yeah, I mean, beyond being rotational pieces, there's no one in that front that you say they got to be here. But Dominique Robinson, is he a guy who we should be confident will be a rotational piece moving forward for seasons to come? Sure, that's because he's young, but not because he's playing at such a high level.
And they drafted him. Right. All right, we got Dan Pompey is going to join us next, and we'll give our picks. It is the pregame show here on The Score.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Mully, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
It's the pregame show on The Score. We're delighted to welcome in our friend Dan Pompey. His name is writ in the Hall of Fame. He joins us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. I think the Bears finally are going into a game as a favorite in a long time, right?
Well, I mean, they they won as an underdog in New England, and you thought something special was going to happen from then on. Having a little issue with the defense, but the offense has been great, and Justin Fields has been great. So finally, they play an opponent you think they might be able to beat, but no one in town wants them to because everyone wants a high draft pick and a quarterback.
Well, you know, the Lions are an interesting team. You know, they obviously, I think, took a step forward last week to repairing their defensive issues. They made a change in their coaching staff and played pretty well against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I know everyone wants to kind of attribute that to Rodgers not playing well, but you have to give some credit to the Lions, and you have to wonder a little bit if they're going to continue in that vein to play like they did last week. The thing about the Lions is, you know, they can score points because they've done it. You know, I think they're 10th in the league in points per game. They're 7th in yards. So they're going to score some points today, and the Bears obviously have to keep pace in order to win the game.
Dan, part of the story is Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes and what they're doing up there in Detroit. And I know you covered the entire NFL. What are your thoughts on them so far and what they're doing up there in Detroit?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a situation that needed some time. And, you know, if you look at their roster, you would say, you know, they need some more playmakers before they really can be competitive with the better teams in the league. But I like what they've done. I really do. It just, they haven't gotten the results yet. I think I spent a lot of time up there this year with Campbell. I was there again a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think Campbell is pretty special as head coach. I think, you know, he's got a great way of connecting with people. And players love playing for him. You know, he's had some difficulties with the offense last year. Started out with Anthony Lynn as his coordinator and switched to Ben Johnson, who everyone likes, you know, and thinks they've done a really good job. They think he's done a really good job up there this year, but they've had a lot of issues that have really stopped them from getting on track. My feel is that, you know, they're probably going to end up with a different quarterback next year. They felt like that was a trade that they had to make, getting Goff for Matthew Stafford, in order to turn the page and kind of start over again, especially financially. But I think my bet is they're going to do it again next year, maybe with a rookie quarterback.
Looking at another offensive line combination that'll be there blocking for Justin Fields today, and that's been a frequent thing for the Bears this season. So it seems like it should make it difficult to establish some continuity, but this system that Luke Getsy has in place has kind of allowed them to continue to emerge throughout the year. So do you think there's much concern that should be with no Tevin Jenkins in the lineup and Whitehair just recently returning from injury, and obviously Sam Mustafa has been under some scrutiny, you know, Riley Reiff now just a couple of games at right tackle. How do you view another offensive line combination today being a storyline in the game?
Yeah, it's a good question, Anthony. I think it's always a concern anytime you make a change. And, you know, the more changes you make, I think the more potential vulnerabilities there are. And I think this is their 7th different offensive line combination in 10 games, which is unheard of. And, you know, they weren't very good to begin with. So you look at where they are now, and you certainly have to have concerns. On the plus side, you know, the Lions have not had a lot of success rushing the passer. So I think, you know, the Bears probably hope they can get away with, you know, whatever they have out there today against the Detroit Lions front four.
Dan, the Lions haven't won in 13 straight road games. Sadly, the last team they beat was the Bears, and that, yeah, I remember that game pretty clearly. But I'm wondering, Dan Campbell, 0 for 11 on the road. Is that just what happens when you're kind of in the midst of a rebuild? Is that just a talent problem for them? Is there anything that you see that would explain why they can't seem to win on the road?
Yeah, I think it's mostly talent. But, you know, hey, when you have that kind of streak, I think it there's probably a lot of different things at play. There have been times there have been game management issues. You know, I think that's clear. But I think mostly, you know, when you talk about winning tight games on the road, oftentimes that comes down to your quarterback making plays. You know, if you're in the game at the end, you know, the quarterbacks and the kickers are the ones that are winning those.
Right.
And, you know, the Lions haven't always had that working in their favor either, or maybe they've gone against teams that have better players making more plays against them in those positions.
Dan, I got to ask you, I know it's not about the game, but we talked about the Jeff Saturday situation, and I always love getting your take on NFL situations like this. So what's your thoughts on Jim Irsay giving that head coaching job to Jeff Saturday?
Well, you know, I thought the whole thing was a little bit out there. You know, even firing Frank Reich and, you know, the owner getting involved in the quarterback change, to me, that's not a blueprint for success. And I think it's been a little – it's out of character for what Irsay's done over a long period of time. So I was surprised by all of it. You know, I'm not completely against thinking outside the box, though. And you know, looking at a guy like Saturday and saying, you know, does he have the stuff of a head coach? Obviously, you know, he hasn't been tested. He hasn't done a lot of the things. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. You know, there would be a big learning curve. But, you know, once upon a time, the NFL did it that way a lot of times. And, you know, I think when you look at the number of head coaches that kind of come up the traditional way, the way they're supposed to do it, and they, you know, check all the boxes and take all the steps, then they fall flat on their face. You know, you see that that's not always maybe the best way to do things either. So, you know, I think it's an interesting experiment, and I'm looking forward to see how Saturday does.
I think we all are.
All right, Dan. Yeah. What does Justin Fields do for an encore, and who'd you pick in the game?
Yeah, I think Fields needs to play well in this game. He needs to continue it. You know, Bears, over the last three games, are averaging 31.1 points per game. That's going to have to continue. And what the Bears cannot afford to do in this game is give the Lions extra possessions. So he's going to have to keep taking good care of the football. I've got the Bears winning this one 31-29.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Dan.
Okay, thanks, guys.
I like that 60 points. Anthony, where did you go in your selection this week?
I'm going to take a Bears win, and I think that, you know, one thing we haven't seen in recent weeks on social media, since the offense is scoring touchdowns, suddenly you don't see all these pictures of open receivers that Justin Fields should have thrown it to, like he's reading the field like Peyton Manning now. He's not. He's still imperfect. There will still be places that the offense will continue to get better at. But in the end, I think especially with this opponent, the Bears do have at least equal personnel at certain spots, maybe even a personnel advantage. So certain spots, Lions got a personnel advantage too, but I think it will be the Bears in a high scoring affair. I'm going to say the Bears win 35-28.
I like that. You know, here's the thing, it's like 48.5 or something, the over under. I mean, I'm with you. I took the Bears and I was in the 60s as you were, and Dan, Pat,
I'm right there with you up in the 60s, and I just, the Bears have the best player on the field today, and that's going to be a difference, in my opinion, with these two rosters that are not very good. And I think another thing that's going to happen for this defense is finally that hits principle you were talking about. It's takeaway time, and Jared Goff will throw you some of those, and I think that's a good possibility of getting those. I don't think they're going to get pressure with just the front four. I think Alan Williams is going to dial up a lot more blitzes to get to them, to get those turnovers. So I have the Bears winning 32-31.
Do you have maybe a Jaquan Brisker as the blitzer?
He might be the sack leader. He might be the sack leader of the game again. I do like him blitzing, though. He's pretty good at
it.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Gordon might be able to do a blitz.
Sure.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Did I call him Josh
Gordon? Josh Gordon, yeah.
Kyler Gordon. Kyler, yeah. Jeez. Josh Gordon, you can sign him off the street and come in and blitz.
He's available.
All right, guys, we should let you know that we will be here for you the minute the game ends, myself and Patrick, and Anthony, you will be here with the post show after us, so we'll be here for a couple hours, and then you get Anthony and all of his insights. We'll be watching it, as you will be. We're looking forward to it. Come on now, surely the Bears can win a game, and surely we can be happy about it, right? Wouldn't it be glorious if we had a post-game show where everything was going great and a win, even added in? That would be something special. Guys, I'm on tomorrow morning at 5:30. Patrick, are you on tomorrow or are you on Tuesday?
Tuesdays with Dan and Lawrence.
And Anthony, when are you on?
I'll be on tomorrow. I do Mondays with Dan and Lawrence as well. Okay. I'll be on there with Bernstein and Holmes.
All right, guys. We'll be listening all along. We'll be watching. Come back to us the minute the game ends. Want to thank Adam Staszynski for his great work and Mitch Rosen and all the fine folks at the Score. It is indeed the pregame show. Looking forward to a big game today between the Bears and the Lions. And it's been presented by Bet Rivers, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers app today. Thanks for listening.